Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 12, Consecration to His Mission. Guest minister Sarah Stepinski delivered this message on March 18th, 2018.
We are continuing in our series of consecration, and it just fit perfectly what God has really been stirring in my heart, this being consecrated to God's mission, the Great Commission. We have a mission to do. We're not just in church to feel a tingle and read something in a book and then go home and kumbaya and and then we, I don't know, do whatever we do, right? We are on a mission. We are on a mission, and we need to be consecrated to that mission. And I was thinking back to a message a couple weeks ago. Actually, I wasn't even here physically, but I listened to Pastor Tom's message on the CD. Oh, my goodness, that message just, I don't know if anyone else that heard it either live or later on in the CD kind of can relate to my feeling of, wow. I mean, he was talking about consecrating. Well, I don't think he necessarily had the title of consecration, but yet it fits when you think about, he was talking about choice and whether we're going to live gratifying the flesh or not. Are we going to die to the old man, the old self, take off our old self and really be consecrated to him? In other words, I don't think he probably used that word, but I was just really, challenged, blessed, touched by his message, and that kind of spur, it just kept going because, you know, after he was talking about that, losing our life for the sake of the kingdom and walking in the spirit, and things that I experienced in Cuba has just really put a hunger in me for, like, whew, there goes the spirit, and I see the spirit moving, and it's like, I want that. Where's that going? I want that. I want that life. I want to be consecrated to that. And so, you know, that message of just like, are we really taking off the old stuff? You know, the sin that entangles us, that one verse says. Are we losing our lives for the sake of the kingdom, to go where the Spirit's going? And then Pastor Harley talked about teaching us the importance and the purpose of prayer and fasting, being consecrated to that, and that is such an important part of what we're going to talk about today, building his church, multiplying and making disciples for the kingdom of God, prayer and fasting. And we saw that we just see the power in that of prayer and fasting, the sense of unity. We prayed and fasted this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and yesterday we had an awesome outreach day. It was maybe different. We didn't have like tons of salvations, but we had, I believe, some healings. We had lots of seeds planted, and we should never underestimate the seeds that are planted, because one day those seeds will give fruit. The word of God never returns empty or void, the Bible says. So we know that those seeds will come up, they will germinate, they will produce fruit in people's lives. So yesterday was a day of breaking up ground in some stony hearts, I believe, and just having, seeing God's word being planted in people's heart where they go, oh, and maybe turn some ideas, break some structures down, some high walls in people's minds or thoughts. So the power of being consecrated to doing that work and the prayer and the fasting that comes in as preparation for that is an important part. And then last week, Brother Don walked us through also talking about being consecrated through our obedience. Ooh, yeah. Who felt convicted by that message? And if you haven't heard it, you can go online, mfh4fw.org, and you can listen. It's probably not up there yet, but we're a couple weeks behind, I think, of what's on there, and you can listen to the messages there. But anyways, so you can catch up to the series here. But he talked about our obedience as it relates to the level of faith that we're operating in. Wow. That was a challenge, but it's good. It's good. And so today we pick up with this thread of being consecrated to his mission. We all know up here, we heard it a million times, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, into all the world, preach the gospel, preach the good news, and make disciples of nations, right? And I'll be with you till the end of the age. We know this. Are we consecrated to that mission? Because that's a bigger, we know it. Consecration is a, yeah, there's a lot involved in that, right? So we must, all of these things, like going back to Pastor Tom's message, we must put aside our flesh and take off the old man, the sin that entangles us, in order to be, consecrated to his mission. Because everything that God gives us, everything that he's doing, when he convicts, when we receive conviction from the Holy Spirit about a sin, it's for us because he wants to give us, Jesus came to give us abundant life. He forgives us of sin, but it's not just so that, like I said, that we just say, kumbaya, now I feel good, now I'm not in sin anymore. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose so that when I'm free of sin and I see the Spirit moving, I can go and get in it. I can be a part and I can chase out where, you know, seek out the Spirit of God, right? And so, such an important part, prayer and fasting, such an important part. It's preparation for what, it's preparing our hearts. We're not twisting God's arm to do something by our prayer and fasting. Okay, God, I'm not going to eat, you know, this whole week, and so then you're going to do, it's not, we can't manipulate God, right? But we prepare our hearts. We say, flesh, and I even do this sometimes, flesh, stop it. Get down, you're going to bow. You're going to bow because I walk by the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit, right? But we have to do these things. We have to be practical about it. And then being obedient to his word in order to activate authority. If we want authority, if we want to see miracles and signs and wonders, if we want to pray for somebody and see something happen and that they can receive a touch from God, that they can receive a word, that they, are changed and moved in order to even to receive salvation, we need to be walking in consecration. We need to be totally pure before him. We need to be obeying his word, because that's what gives us authority to speak and speak the word with that authority behind us by the Spirit of God. Amen? Okay, so that's all the catch up. Bring us up to where we are now. And I saw this video. It's a ministry or a movement kind of called Multiply Movement by, I believe Francis Chan is behind this movement. It's a good resource if you want to check it out, multiplymovement.com, but I'm going to have you play the video. It's just 2 minutes. It's kind of like their mission statement, and actually it's from a couple years ago, I believe, but I just thought it was really good about multiply, this call that we have to multiply. So you can go ahead and play that.
Sometimes I don't feel like people understand like the weight of some of the things that are written in this book. All authority in heaven on earth, every bit of authority that exists has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. There were 12 men who said, we're going to abandon everything to follow after Jesus as our master. And so they did. And as they did, Jesus transformed everything about them. Everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ needs to obey that great command. So it starts with Jesus saying, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. At the end, he says, now go and make disciples of all nations. This is what you were created for. A lot of people have memorized this passage, but are they doing it? You and I are intended to have life in following Christ and in fishing for men, in being a disciple of Jesus and making disciples of Jesus. That's at the heart of Multiply, is to make sure people are actually doing it. You are created to make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. We're trying to help people get a good basic foundation of understanding so that we can go out with confidence. Let's encourage one another. As disciples of Jesus, every one of us, let's make disciples. And the beautiful thing is he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And what we want to do is help equip
people to give their lives to making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, so that together we can be a part of the accomplishment of the greatest mission on this earth, disciples made in every single nation.
Okay, disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And that little symbol that they were drawing is, to get that, it's like a little person, right? Stick figure, or just the fact of a life and then multiplying to another life. And they have groups of them. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Multiply. Disciples who make disciples. That is our mission. That's our vision. Toward the end of the message, we're going to look at the mission statement that's on here, our vision statement about being disciples who make disciples. So you don't have to turn there yet, but because that'll be a little bit later on. That's a flash forward commercial. Okay, so I was just talking to Mew in the back about, and I gave them a copy of the notes and the scriptures that I was going to put up, and she said, "So what's with the axe head float story, or how did God give you that?" And I just thought, well, I had most of this message worked out two weeks ago before the pastors left for Israel so they could get things printed. And then this past week, you know, just praying and things, God just said, like, don't forget this one. Put this one in. And it's a story that is a passage in Scripture from 2 Kings. And you can turn there, and I believe we have it. Perhaps we have it up on the screen, too. So we're going to look at this story in 2 Kings 6 because, and Mew just said, wow, that's confirmation, because she has been reading over and received that passage from the Lord as well. So praise God. I feel like there is there's a message in here for us. There is several different points that I got out of this story, and I think this is like God. This is God's word coming alive for us, saying, "This is for you. This is for my Father's house." Okay, you know, we have the, maybe we don't talk about it all the time, but those of you that have been with us for a while, you know, there have been, we've discussed plans to move forward to one day break ground and build a new church building over here. And there's been many people, pastors, prophets, friends of the ministry that have come and prophesied that they see the building this way. that way. They see the building out there. So we have this dream, this prophecy, and then we have what we see today, right, with our physical eyes. And it's like, okay, how do we get from here to over there? Again, a commercial. Okay, so the Lord speaks to me. That's coming up. The Lord speaks to me about 2 Kings 6, the axe head floats. So let's read this. Awesome. It's up there. They're on it back there. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place for us to meet." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried out. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Okay, a simple story. Just a couple verses there, seven verses. The first thing that I noticed is that the company of the prophets, they say, look, they're looking around at their current circumstances. They say, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Is this place too small for us? And maybe not in the physical sense that we have enough chairs, we have extra chairs to fill up here, right? But like in the sense of if we're reaching for this dream, this prophecy to expand, and we're not just going to build a building to have us 25 of us be over there, right? It's for the people that God is bringing, that we believe in our hearts, that we can see with our spiritual eyes, that God wants to bring. It's so that this, so that my Father's house can be a beacon of light to the city of Fort Wayne, a house of deliverance to Fort Wayne, right? So in a sense, maybe not physically, we could say this place is too small for us, because like I said, we have room. But is it too small in the sense of like, we're not conformed to just staying how we are right here? It's too small because we don't want to just stay us 25 or how many ever of us there are. We want to get to 1,000 or what, how many ever, the numbers, it's not about the numbers, it's about Jesus' life, right? But we're opening our eyes to say, like, okay, God's dreaming. I mean, we've heard this prophecy. God's dreaming big for us. Are we dreaming big? Are we in line with that? Are we saying, okay, yeah, like what we are right now is too small. We got to extend our tent stakes. We want to grow. We want to grow into this vision, this prophecy that he has. We want to see it become a reality. We have to reach for more. We have to not be conformed with just us here, just being, I mean, it's great. We all know each other, and we want to keep that even when we grow to bigger numbers. But, you know, and it's like, oh, we're just this small little family, and it's awesome. I love us. I really do. I love us with all our heart. But if we love us and we believe that the Spirit of God is doing something here and producing life, don't we want to share it? I mean, that's what God calls us to do, to multiply, to make others of us disciples who are making other disciples. We can't be selfish with what we have. This is awesome. My Father's house is a treasure. But like, let's put it, not hide it under a bowl. We wouldn't need to put it on the lampstand and say, we're growing. This is too small for us. We want to grow. We want to expand. Like Isaiah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glad you're with me. Praise God. There's agreement. There's agreement in the house today. That's good. So Isaiah 54 verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Stretch them wide. Are we ready to stretch them wide? To grow and to, I lost my place. Where was I? Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. So my Father's house, God's saying to us, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Do we want more? We want more. Like the company of the prophets, back to 2 Kings 6. Look, the place where we meet is too small for us. Like we want something more. We're not going to be conformed with how it is. So then in verse 2, they say, let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet. They're making a plan. Right? They're saying, let us go to the Jordan. They're making a plan to take action. Let us go. And they're looking for available resources. They're identifying where their resources are. And they're saying, okay, over there by the Jordan, there's some resources that can be useful to us. We can go and we can cut down these poles and they become trees for us to build with. Right? So we need to, like I said, get the find out, identify the resources, make a plan in order to put those resources to work for us to build and to create based on what God has shown us. Based on this, we're not conforming. Based on we want to lengthen our cords, not hold back, strengthen our stakes. So we're going to go and plan, go and build. Verse 3 and 4, then one of them says to them, or one of them says, but won't you please come with your servants? Because Elijah first just says, go. Okay, he gives them the command, like he gives them the green light, go. But they say, but, you know, they recognize his authority. Won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied, and he went with them. This is about authority, about us submitting to authority, the vision that God has given Pastor Harley and Pastor Karen for us to submit to that. And not that we're, I mean, it doesn't really matter who's initiating. Like if we're saying, come on, let's, won't you come with us? Or they're initiating. Sometimes it's like a give and take. The whole thing is that I was getting from this is, community. We go together. That we're not moving separate from our leadership, or the leadership isn't just blasting forward and leaving us in the dust. Okay, we go together. We're in unity. We're in community saying we have to go together. Won't you come with us? Let's all do this together as we submit to the authority that God has so gracefully blessed us with. Okay, and so we go together to take action, which leads us to the next point. Taking action, like Nike slogan, just do it. Verse 4 and 5. So they went to the Jordan and began to cut down the trees. They took action. They're moving, they're working, they're doing something, they're building, right? They're chopping. We get up and we start. I had a friend that had a little saying, a roommate, she was a roommate that I live with, and it said, begin, the rest is easy. I'm like, that, I need to make a little sign for my house, because sometimes I'm just like fretting and the plan, and I'm so like, need a plan and type A and just begin it, just do it. And then the rest comes. It just, it's like a snowball that rolls down a hill. It just goes, right? The momentum after you just start. So just go to the Jordan, start taking action based on what God has shown and what the plan that he's giving, the resources that he's showing, and the plan and the vision that God has given to the authority. So we're going forward, taking action as a community. It's better to take action, to do something, than to just sit back and, oh, I wonder, or we're just praying about this. Maybe we've been praying about something for 20 years. Like, when are we going to... I laugh because sometimes I kind of have that mentality of just, like, sit back and, like, passive. Well, I'm just waiting on God. Well, God may be waiting on us, or God may be waiting on you, right? We've been reading about, you know, in our women's group about authority. And it's a lot about, like, get up. Get up and do what God already has enabled you and given you the resources to do. Okay, so let's go forward. So we have to be taking action to move forward, to learn. And mistakes happen, right? The axe head fell. But better that it, you know, better that they were moving and doing something, advancing, you know, and that's how we learn. That's how we learn and we grow. And so better to do that and have a mistake happen and, you know, or an error, or you realize you went off track a little bit or something happened, than to just sit there for however long and just, well, I'm just praying on that or waiting on that. You know, let's go. And things might happen, but that's how we learn and we grow and we work together. So we see that you know, the guy was distressed because it was a borrowed axe head. So the man of God, Elijah, asks, where did it fall? So they're working together, and he says, well, he showed him the place. He cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron head float. He did his part, and God did the miraculous. He made it float. Okay, so when we are moving, taking action, using the authority that God has given us, God's going to do the miraculous. And that's exciting to me. That's really exciting to me. He acts on our behalf when we do our part and we move forward. God brings the miracle. He brought the axe head up to the surface. We have the part then of receiving it. He said, okay, lift it out. Right? He said, lift it out. And the man reached out and took it. So God did the miracle because we went forward. We took action. But then also there's this other part of it's there. It's floating. Are we just going to, oh, look, it's floating there. There's the axe head that I really want because it was borrowed. I'm just going to sit back. No, then we take it because God did it. We worked together. We collaborate, you know, we co-created, and God did the miracle. And so then I reach and I receive, you know, we say, I believe and I receive. So I receive it. I take it. Okay. So that's our introduction. Let me take a sip. Praise God. I'm excited up here. My heart's beating fast.
Amen.
It's exciting because I feel like God is just, he's stirring us. He's stirring us for the more of like, okay, it's time to act. It's time to commit to the prophecies, the dreams, the words. It's time to really commit, and it's time to put action to it, to put feet to it. And I'm going to do the miraculous. Maybe things aren't going to go perfectly as planned or as you have in your head. Maybe the axe head is going to fall when we're out there chopping trees or, you know, whatever. But at least we're doing something. And God's going to, when we are walking forward in what God has shown us, then God's going to do the miraculous. And he's got our back. And we're going to get that axe head back or whatever we lost or dropped along the way. Okay? And so, you know, I was thinking also of this thing about prophecies. When a prophecy or a dream is given, have you ever had this where maybe somebody spoke a word over you or the Spirit of God speaks a word over you and you're like, is he talking to me? Like you don't quite see it. Like it's not exactly what's your reality right now. It's like, yeah, look behind me like, who, me? You're talking to me, God? You know, and I was kind of meditating on this and thinking about, like, when Jesus says to Peter in Matthew 16, 18, he says to him, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Peter was given that prophecy, that word of, I don't know if it's a word of knowledge or word of prophecy for the future. And I mean, the scripture doesn't say this, but this is Sarah's opinion, that maybe Peter was like, who, me? You're talking to me? Because just before that, you know, Jesus was walking on the water and he calls Peter out of the boat and Peter starts and then he gets distracted, right, by the wind and the waves and he takes his eyes off Jesus and then he starts to sink. And then Jesus tells him, he says, I'm going to build my church. You're the rock on which I'm going to build my church. And this powerful statement, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. Wow. And Peter's going, really? Really, Lord? I mean, like I said, it doesn't say that in the scripture, but that's just, maybe that's kind of maybe I'm reflecting, like that's kind of how I would feel if Jesus said that to me. You know, and when he sank, he said, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? We see there in that, you know, in that story that just the importance of us keeping our eyes on Jesus, us keeping our eyes on the prize, which is doing the will of the Father. And when God speaks a word over us, whether we see it or not with our physical eyes, we need to line ourselves up with it and get in agreement and go, okay, God, if you see this in me, then I'm just going to do what you put in front of me each little step at a time, keeping my eyes on you so that I can get to the prize or so that we can expand and get to the, you know, obey what he's, don't we want, when God gives us a dream, a prophecy, don't we want to do whatever, you know, take the little baby steps so that we can get to it, to receive it, to receive the miraculous, to line up, you know, because when he gives us that prophecy, he's sharing his heart. He's sharing his will with us, his dreams. We always say, God, I want to know your will. I want to know your will. And then, you know, Jesus says something huge like, you know, you're my rock, Peter, that which I'm going to build my church. And we go, oh, no, that's too big. You know, or, you know, Jesus, the Spirit of God says, you know, to the pastors, you know, gives this beautiful, huge vision. And it's like, oh, no, that's too big because we don't see that right now. But they're going for it. And we're with them. We've been called. We've been chosen. We've been brought to this place. And so let's go with them. Okay. And so let me get back to my notes so I kind of keep myself on track here. It's not about us, but the greatness of God wanting to work through us, right? To accomplish his purpose, which is to build his church, which is to multiply ourselves, to make disciples. If we are calling ourselves disciples of Jesus, followers of him, we have this command to multiply ourselves, like we started with, you know, that the video so, I thought, so eloquently, you know, expressed that to us. So the task may look daunting or like, ah, too big, overwhelming for us, but just like Peter, when we keep our eyes on Jesus and not be distracted by the wind and the waves and everything going around us, we can take steps to move forward into that. The other story that I, you know, quickly flashed before my eyes was David facing the giant Goliath. You know, and it's a little bit different because, it, you know, he was going after, we're talking about going after a prophecy, and Goliath was an enemy. So it's a different circumstance, but yet the thing that I saw the same was that overwhelming, like all the people, all the townspeople, the Israelites were like cowering and just waiting, you know, what's going to happen here? Like, you know, and David stood up and he said, like, basically the nerve of this uncircumcised Philistine, because he knew he knew the power of his God. He knew the God of the angel armies, right? And so like David couldn't understand why everyone else stood around just like idly or like nervous hiding, like what's going to happen here by this giant. That this giant who had the audacity, like the boldness to defy, and this is quoted from the story there in 1 Samuel 17. We're not going to turn to it. I'm jumping all over and referring to things. This giant had the audacity to defy the armies of the living God. But for David, it was like, oh, that's no, you know, no big thing. I've been out in the fields and I've conquered the bear and whatever else, help me out, lion, thank you. And so I'm prepared for this because, you know, God used those battles out there to strengthen his heart in knowing who God was. And so David wasn't afraid because he had that, the boldness, the confidence, not in himself, but of the God of, you know, the God of angel armies, to the army of the living God behind him. And so he went for it. He went forward in action with that authority, trusting that, you know what, my God can take care of this. Amen. My God's got this. And so it doesn't need to be this overwhelming, fearful thing that we're, you know, sitting back or cowering. Okay, so two words that the Holy Spirit shared with me of like, okay, so here we are right now as my Father's house of how we look and how we're functioning now. And over here is the prophecy in the dream. And I was like, what about it, God? Like, we've got A and we've got B. And so we're at A, and how do we get to B? And two words came to mind, commitment and action. And I mean, and really that you can see that if we applied those same two words to like the axe head story, commitment and action. So the commitment part. Ephesians 5:25-27. Let's take a look at that, because it is an awesome display of God's commitment to us, his church. What did I say? Thank you. Ephesians 5. Yes. You guys are with me. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so is that wrong? Yes. Okay, so I was just going to say, so they, maybe that's just a bonus for somebody today. He's talking, okay, so he's giving instructions about husbands loving their wives just as Christ. So he's making a metaphor, like he's making a comparison here. But so we're not talking about, you know, marriage and things like that. But I wanted to just put make the point of just what they say here. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So that's, I mean, we're talking about commitment, right? God gave himself up. He gave of himself. If that doesn't speak of commitment, I don't know what does. He was so committed to loving us, to giving us his son so that we could have eternal life, be cleansed of our sins, and be the church that he wants us to be, to the radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Commitment shows the heart that's behind it. We can see what one is committing to basically by their actions. Sometimes it's hard to separate the commitment, decide like what's commitment, what's action, because you can see somebody's commitment through what they do, right? You can tell what they place priority on in their lives. You can tell what we, and just, you know, thinking about ourselves and our, you know, what am I committed to, God? Sometimes we say things, and but how we're spending our time, our resources, you know, our money, our energy, where our thoughts are, don't maybe always line up with what we say. And so, but that shows us our heart. That shows what we are truly committing to. And so commitment and action, I think, go really closely together. So here we see God's commitment to the church. We see his heart for the church, that he wants us to be this holy and blameless church. We sang a song, I think it was the Potter's Hand song, the first song about, I wrote down the words, captured by your holy calling, set me apart. That's what holy means, right? Set apart. I give my life to the Potter's hand. We want, and we're talking about consecration, which is essentially that, being set apart. So God dreams of his church to be holy and set apart, that we don't have stain or blemish or wrinkle. We can only do that through him, through Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So for this commitment, we must really like line our hearts, line our spiritual vision, if you will, our spiritual eyes up with it, to believe it and receive it in order for the action to follow. But, you know, what is important to me individually? What is important to us as the body of my Father's house? What do we want? What are we showing by our actions that we're committed to right now? And what do we want to further go deeper in our commitment based on the commandment that we have? We have to, you know, decide, like, what do we want to be all in for? Are we committing to what? Are we really committing to doing whatever God is showing us to do collectively as a body to get to that prophecy? And I'm not saying, you know, make things up or conjure something up, because, you know, we labor in vain unless the Lord builds the house, you know, that scripture. And so it's not just that we're like making things happen or striving, but I feel like God is just, you know, saying, well, I've given you, you know, here's the prophecy, here it is. Are our hearts collectively, are we wrapping ourselves, you know, our hearts, our spiritual eyes around this to then say, I'm in, like, I'm committing to this. I want this to be my value and my priority, not just for my Father's house, but because we have collectively as the big church and the church of Fort Wayne, like, God has chosen us and called us, chosen us. We are here. We're in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in 2018 for such a time as this. And Jesus is coming back, and he calls us to multiply, to make disciples of all nations. So we can do this, and it starts with our commitment. It starts with, like, I don't know, this the way I see it, like wrapping our hearts, to get that, like wrapping our hearts around it, to show our where our priority lies. So then commitment leads us to choosing what we value, what's our priority, which leads to action. And so we say, like, I'm devoted to this. I will be faithful in this, God. Like, whatever you're showing me as a part of the body that is here, you know, because we all come with different gifts, different talents, gifts of the Spirit, and we need all the parts of the body. Like, if your pinky toe, it seems insignificant and little, but has anyone ever walked without a pinky toe? Thank God you have. Okay. So what does that feel like? We need that pinky toe, right? Because are you like, I don't know, is it a balance issue? Is it a pain issue? Probably all of the above. You know, you need that pinky toe. So, like, we need all of us to be here. Even if you just, you know, you just received Jesus as Lord and you're just a part of us. But you're called, you're here, right? So be a part, because we need you. And God, you know, is saying to all of us, like, just like he said to Peter, you're the rock that I want to build this church on. This church that I want to build out here, not just the structure, but like this church for us to multiply. It's on us. Like, you know, who me? Who us? Like, we're, you know, 25, 30 people strong, but mighty. Amen. Not by might or not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. It's by his Spirit. And it starts with our commitment that turns into action. Okay. And so thinking about action, I was like, okay, Lord, what in the Bible, what's your scripture that, your word that depicts that for us, illustrates that for us? Acts. Oh my gosh, the whole book of Acts, right? I could just stand up here and read from Acts 1 to whatever, how many ever books there are in Acts, right? Bonus points. How many chapters? 20. 20, I thought you said that. Okay. Cheryl gets a brownie after church. No. But Acts is all about action, right? Isn't it great? Hence the name Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, they're doing. Hey, I just got that. Preaching to myself. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Where is Acts? Here it is. Okay, we're going to do a little book of Acts calisthenics. We're going to go back and forth, up and down. It's good, right? Gets our fingers limbered up. Okay, so in Acts 2, the disciples were gathered and they received the Holy Spirit, right? On the day of Pentecost. Amen. They received what God had for them. You know, he had said, wait, because I'm sending my Spirit. And when the Spirit comes upon you, you will have power. Yes. We have power. We have that power in us. My Father's house, doesn't matter how many of us are here. We have power. Yes. And on this church, God's going to build his church in Fort Wayne. Okay, so they received, they committed, and then immediately they took action. What does Peter start doing? He's preaching to the message, because they're like, what, are these guys drunk, you know, on wine? And he says, no, it can't be, you know, it's only whatever time in the morning. It's only in the morning. So he's preaching to the crowd that's gathering. He took the opportunity. They received. They committed, and then Peter, the same Peter that was going, who me, and took his eyes off and sank, is now stepping into being a part of that rock, right? And he's taking action. He preaches the message to the crowd that's gathered. The Holy Spirit's just saying to me, so are you taking opportunities when I gather a crowd around you, a crowd of one, a crowd at the gas station, a crowd of your client at your work? Are we taking the opportunity because we're committed to what Jesus says, multiply? But, like, I don't just multiply by sitting here and multiply. You know, I got to talk. I got to preach, right? you know, back to Andrew Womack and authority. We don't just pray revival, like just, you know, pray for somebody to be saved and they just like magically like a chicken just or an egg just hatches. Like we have to plant the word. We're a part of that. We have to collaborate with that process, right? And so then skip ahead in at the end of Acts 2, 38 and 40. And Peter, okay, so he's preaching. This is all his, you know, his message to the people. And the people are asking, well, what do we have to do? What did they ask? What shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's just teaching exactly what they learned, right? He's multiplying, because he's teaching it to somebody else. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Isn't that awesome? They accepted the message because he was bold to preach. He was taking action because he was committed. He was devoted to what he believed and what he had experienced with Jesus. And or the Holy Spirit just on that day, right? When the Holy Spirit came into them. And then the result is multiplication. 3,000 added to their number. When we take action out of the overflow of the Spirit, imagine that Peter was so, you know, just taken over by the Spirit of God in him, that we don't have to strive. It just happens. It just comes out of us. We preach. It came out of him. Okay, Acts 20, skip ahead to Acts 20. Verse 42. There's not a 42. That's interesting, Sarah. What chapter is that? Is it 19? They devoted 42. Is there a 1942? They devoted themselves to the apostles of teaching. That one's on the bulletin. What does it say on the bulletin? I'm sorry? What chapter? I'm sorry, guys. Oh. Oh, I had an extra. Okay. No wonder. I was like, well, I'm jumping all over the place when I was. I get that. You know me too well, Tony. Shh. That's between you and I, Tanya. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Here we go. Acts 2. Is there a 42 in that? Oh, good. I'm saved. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So they were consecrated, devoted, and committed, which naturally led to action. Them taking action, which produced God's results, the multiplication of the church. So they devoted themselves to the apostles. And every time I went through this and I underlined every time that showed an action. So, you know, I'm going through and I go, okay, they taught and they were devoted to teaching and to fellowship. That was underlined. And then what else? To the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were devoted to those things, breaking bread together, eating, and to prayer, fellowship, communion together. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So there's another action in there. Wonders and signs were being performed. So that's underlined. Then 44, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. So they were together, another action, they grouped, they got together. And they had everything in common. They were sharing things. Hey, you need something? Yeah, I got it. Here you go. I got you back. 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That's another, I didn't underline that one. Must have gotten sleepy there. Okay, but so I'm underlining it now. They sold property and possessions. That was another action to give anyone to, who had need. They were meeting needs. Verse 46, every day they continued. Now, the things that showed devotion, I mean, obviously the actions show the devotion like we talked about. The devotion, the commitment, and the actions go closely together. But I put those in, those words in bold. So like at the beginning, they devoted, that's in bold, and then they continued to meet together. It's an action and it's a commitment, right? They were continuing to meet. They got together. It wasn't just like one event, one time thing. They continued to meet and get together in the temple courts. Then they broke bread in their homes. Again, they're eating. Praise God. They having fellowship and communion in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. So that's another action. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Praise God. So their actions show their commitment, teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer, performing signs and wonders. They were together. They shared their possessions. They met needs. They continued to meet together. They were worshiping together. Devotion is serious. And we can see it by the way that we're living, devotion, our consecration to each other, to the body, and saying, come on, let's go. Like we link arms and we're going forward to reach the promise, the dream, right? In Acts 5, like I was reading this about, you know, the different times that they were persecuted, that they faced persecution when they were, Paul, when they were put in jail, like starting at 19, during the night, an angel of the Lord, Acts 5, chapter 19, verse 19. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Wow. So signs and miracles are happening. The angel let them out and said, keep going. Keep preaching. Did they go, angel, really? I don't think I can do that. They were in boldness, right? I admire these guys. I want to see them in heaven. Awesome. And they show their commitment. And then verse 27, I love what they say. So they were brought, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. And he says, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Commitment and action. They filled Jerusalem with their teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. That's a part of our consecration, that we are walking in the fear of the Lord, that we're obeying what he's telling us and not, you know, being fearful of what people think or what's going to happen to us or the persecution. We're walking in fear of the Lord. We're obeying. We must obey God rather than human beings. I just love that. Love that part. Amen. I want more of the fear of God in my life, that I am so consecrated to God's mission, to what he has for me and for us, that, you know, the angel says, okay, I'm going to do a miracle and let you out. And you come in and then, you know, they say, well, you filled up all Jerusalem with your preaching and teaching. And they say, well, we're obeying God. You know, so take that. Like, you know, like basically like we don't have to respond to you. You're not our authority, they're saying, in other words, right? We respond to the God of the living God, the God of angel armies, who dreams for us, who says, on you, I'm going to build my church. And we go forward and we take action. Right? I'm excited. Praise God. Okay. So then their over-the-top commitment was seen again, like again and again, by their action, their attitude. In verse 41 of chapter 5, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. 42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house. Say it, house to house. Okay, so they're out in public in the temple courts and then house to house. They never stop teaching. Okay, so when they let them out, they flogged them and said, stop this and don't do this anymore. But they let them out, right? And so what did they do? They kept going. They're still preaching in the temple courts and they're meeting house to house. They never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. I wrote in my notes, now that's commitment. That's consecration. It's a challenge. I read that and go, wow, if we can be like that, help us, Jesus, help us, Holy Spirit, to be that committed to the mission. Because we're talking about, you know, building his church and it sounds like this huge, big thing, but, you know, that starts by just sharing one-on-one, sharing to one person. Santos and I in his truck when we drive have been listening to Brother Carl Severin's message from a couple years ago when he was here and talking about the power of one. So we're talking about building his church, like it sounds like this big thing, but that just starts with, you know, I'm sharing with my coworker one-on-one and pouring into this one life. It doesn't mean that I have to have, you know, 12 disciples all at one time, but that I'm investing, that God's showing me who can I invest in. And I'm investing. Maybe it is that you have a group, you know, cell groups. That's the vision of this church, you know. But within the cell group that we're pouring into people, there's different relationships within the cell group. There's one on one, you know, pouring in that somebody can call, and there's accountability. And you know, we say that we're the buffalo, but you know, we're strong in pouring into whoever, you know, God is giving us, right? We want to, you know, when we go out, when we're living our lives, we're, you know, there's no greater work than winning souls to his kingdom. That's what building his church is about, winning souls, that one soul, like the song that we sing, where he goes after, he leaves the 99 for a moment to go after the one. And we're called to go after and pour into and invest. That's what building the church is. And it happens one at a time. And then like the multiply, we're just like tying this all in, we're called, and not even that video, but just the word, we're called to multiply and make disciples out of disciples. So when we're pouring into one person, and then, you know, we're stabilizing the new believer, right? And then we say, okay, now you're ready. Now let's go. Like who, you know, on day week two, who is God putting on your heart to share with? And let's go and let's share with them. And then you raise them up. You teach them. You teach them how to make disciples and pour out. And so the multiplication, it multiplies. Multiplication multiplies, right? And so we're teaching each other how to have this commitment, this devotion, to be consecrated to pouring ourselves into one at a time. And then that one person pours into another person who pours into another person, and it just keeps going. And so if we're all doing that in the city of Fort Wayne or in my Father's house, then we're going to multiply. We're going to grow. We're going to be able to just be walking and seeing that we're at A, but we're on the path to B, to getting to the prophecy, because we're consecrated to what he's given us. Acts 20 verse 19-24. Paul says, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 22, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, despite all of that, despite persecution and hardships and prison, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Wow. Don't you just love Paul? You just admire him? And so then he charged us in Acts 20, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. We're keeping watch over ourselves, keeping accountability together, and which over we're overseeing what the Holy Spirit has entrusted us with, which is this community here in where we are in this neighborhood in Fort Wayne in Indiana. And we want to do that pleases God's in a way that pleases God's heart. Okay, so real quick, get out your bulletin and let's look, and then we're going to go into our focus groups. Let's look at the front. Who's ever read the front? Okay, praise God. We're going to read it again. Make sure we're all reading this, okay? Because it's good. They don't just use print this to use up ink. Okay, so souls, cells, and community. Do you see it, the green title there? Okay, so the paragraph under that says, at the center of our vision for the church is what?
Small groups or cells
of believers who meet when?
Once a week,
and what do they do?
Study, prayer, and personal encouragement.
Yes, amen. And the goal is to reproduce
the character of Christ.
Yes, enabling each one to become a leader. So that's just what we were talking about, multiplying ourselves into somebody else, enabling them to become a leader so that then they can have their own cell group, right? We want to multiply ourselves and grow these groups so that we have them all across the town, all across the city, in each neighborhood. A leader... And it's kind of saying the definition there of a leader is a person who influences others to following Christ. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in the relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. That's Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Okay. So, I think it's good for us every once in a while to check in with our vision statement, with our mission that's printed there. How are we doing? How am I doing personally to be a part of that? Because this body needs me. And how are we doing collectively toward that? So that, and we're going to break into our focus groups. I'm sorry, I talk for a long time. Okay. Is that, you know, God wants to see our commitment, our faith to it, and then he'll bring the people. Okay. So whatever your next step is, that will look different for each one of us. And I don't want to force anyone, you know, we don't want to labor in vain, but ask the Lord, what's my part? What's my part in this vision? Because we all together in community and unity want to move toward what he's spoken, to see it become a dream so that souls can be won for his kingdom, because that's what it's all about, to please his heart, because we are a part of the extension of his kingdom before Jesus comes back. And that's exciting. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. You are so good. You are sovereign Father, you are the God of this city. You are God of Fort Wayne. Father, we just thank you for your heart for Fort Wayne, that you have plans and dreams for Fort Wayne, and we as my Father's house are a part of that. Thank you, Jesus, for looking at us with love and trust. Father, thank you. Father, we say, here we are, collectively and each one, here I am, Lord. Speak to us this week, Holy Spirit. Speak to us about how you see us, Father, what role we have in this body. And Father, what is each of our next step? Father, we want to consecrate ourselves to this mission, this commission that we've been given to go and make disciples of all nations. There's no greater work. There's no greater joy than to bring souls into the kingdom for you and to disciple them in your name. And Father, we want to truly commit to that. So we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit speaking to us and moving us forward, Father, because together we want to advance, we want to reach, we want to see it become a reality, the things that you have spoken over us. We praise you, we give you glory and honor today in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.